on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family, and Flex Vehicle Management Service from 67 cents a day. Visit flexvs.com.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. The Bulldogs are so exciting to watch. That win over the Swans was one for the ages. The turnaround on the Dogs is puzzling, but it's great for the game. We all like the underdog, and it's been well documented that changes have taken place out west. Even the skipper Rob Murphy felt the club was starting from scratch again. That must have been a scary thought for someone who's about to turn 33. The Dogs are now a chance to play finals. Who would have thought that? President Peter Gordon is speaking about membership soaring to 35,000. For the top clubs, that's their starting point in December. The club has a long way to go with membership, but finals football is looking a better bet. I'm KB. That's my take.
Stringer picks it up. Richards confronts him. He got the handball away to Cramery, and Cramery running at speed. He's able to kick the goal. That is a terrific finish. Stringer again, great at ground level. Already got the kick away, McVay almost. Cramery's able to gather the loose ball. Handball, Ling Jong running inside the 50. Steadies at 45, and another goal for the Western Bulldogs. And there is Clay Smith trying to win it. Jared McVay flicks it away to Smith, and then Laidler dropped the locker hot potato. In comes Honeychurch, and dribbles it through.
Back towards the goal squares, a big pack of players. Boyd was the tackler, taken away by Dellhouse. Quick snap, it's bouncing! Bouncing, and then Eastern Waters, he kicked it out of midair. I think he has.
They've got 20 seconds. He's going to kick the ball long. The race is on. The ball's getting inside 50. They're all running hard, Eastern Wood. Can he have clean hands? Picks it up with a little give. The Bulldogs have done well. They got involved. Johannes and kicked off the ground. It's all over. The Doggies have won at the SCG. What a win for the ages for the Dogs.
What a win it was for the Bulldogs. Is it their greatest ever win? According to Rob Murphy in his playing career, it's the greatest win he's ever been associated with. 9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433 98 1116. If you want to send through that SMS, if you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or Hungry for Sport. Your ticks and crosses from a big weekend of sport, your weekend highlight, your weekend lowlight, your advice, positive or negative for your team after round 5. Coming up, Patrick Smith is about to join us in his famous Goose and Gush. You may have some early nominations as well. Talk some golf with Mark Allen. Peter Ryan will join us from AFL.com with all the injuries and match review panel incidents and reports. A couple of big ones, of course, coming up. Get something off your chest, Brett Phillips with the World of Tennis and the Weekend Siren with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake. But coming up, Patrick Smith.
Bottom line is they've got to improve his kicking if they're going to realise his talent. Football in Queensland's really on the nose. Brisbane are struggling, and we're discussing Gold Coast problems now. They need another injection of hype. Some advice. Give it up. It's boring. You've been banging away on it for 5 years. It's bordering on bullying. You've broken this story wide open, Kevin.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
G'day, Kevin. I share your enthusiasm for the Bulldogs. They were my heroes off from the weekend. That to hold strong in the slop,
tough conditions.
Yeah, and you know Sydney's strong bodies. You would expect them to hold to prevail in those conditions. Yet they were magnificent, and I think you called Eastern Wood making that dash in the last moments to get back to the ball, get a give off. That literally saved the match for them, and that was heroic. So yeah, no, they're my heroes. I'm with you there. Well, they got a big job though, Kevin. As you said, 35,000. You know, if they get 35,000, that's fantastic membership. Well, the big boys in town, they're going 70-80. Yeah. Think of the financial difference in that alone, that is afforded the more powerful clubs. That's why we've got to keep looking after stadium deals for the Bulldogs. We've got to keep shoveling these types of clubs money, equalisation money, so that they can compete on an even field, playing field, because they can't if we leave them with 35,000 against 80,000.
But if the Bulldogs keep playing that style of play that they've shown the last couple of weeks against Adelaide and the Sydney Swans, they will gather supporters.
Oh yeah, of course they will.
I mean, there's more than 35,000 people out there voting for the Western Bulldogs. It's just a matter of tapping into those who have a love for the club and to get them on board. And those sorts of performances and the younger players that they've got, backed up by a terrific bunch of senior players who are just playing their hearts out at the moment. To me, the Bulldogs this year, I mean, of all the expectations going into 2015, I don't think anyone expected the Bulldogs to play any major role in what's going to take place this year.
Oh, not at all, and especially, I mean, I for one was highly critical of the pre-season, of Peter Gordon's decision to move on the coach, to the captain left. They paid an awful lot of money to get an untried talent. Then they got an untried coach. I was critical of Peter Gordon, and I thought, well, that sort of preparation, you ain't going nowhere, Bulldogs. They've all been proven to be very sensible, correct decisions from Peter Gordon and his committee, and Beveridge has proved to be a very, very successful coach. Where they are in 10 matches, playing this frenetic type of footy that they're playing, is, you know, we'll wait and see. Nonetheless, they've proven what they can be, and that is something really exciting.
Well, I'd love to hear from Bulldogs fans, because I just wonder whether or not they're just shell-shocked at what's happening with the Bulldogs at the moment. Third on the ladder with the first five games, 4-1. Also on Friday night, Pat, haven't spoken to you since Collingwood took on Carlton. Mick Mulder said after the game that that's the worst performance by Carlton under his coaching as well. So I'd like to hear from Carlton fans. We discussed Carlton on the weekend in terms of how Carlton can even rebuild. And just going through their side, Pat, on the weekend, we looked at the Carlton list. We don't know whether they've got too many people other than Murphy and Gibbs that they could even trade.
No, I think that's fair. And I think
one's your captain, one's your best and fairest winner.
Yes, and if you're saying, if Malthouse is saying that's one of his worst losses ever, well, it's certainly one of the worst lists he's ever had to coach. There's no doubt about that. It's an awful list, and the more cold-heartedly you go through it, there isn't anything there to suggest any quick or immediate improvement. They've got a long way to go, and I still maintain they need Malthouse to lead them there.
And of course, Richmond were very, very disappointing on the weekend against Geelong, a weakened Geelong, and had an opportunity to make a stance. Brendan Gale, the Richmond CEO, you know, speaking on SEN on the weekend, showed a lot of support for Damien Hardwick.
Yes.
Before the game. And I dare say that support will still be there after the game. But it was on crunch time before the game. This is what he had to say, Brendan Gale, about Damien Hardwick.
No matter how you're travelling, people, you know, look to blame and look to explain the loss and look to blame people, players, coaches, and it's convenient just to go to the coach. But, mate, I want to be absolutely sure and clear, for the avoidance of doubt, any discussion about Damien Hardwick's tenure at Richmond is bullshit. I'm the CEO of this club. I run the club on behalf of board, and I'm accountable to that board, and it's simply not on the agenda.
So there's some straight talking.
Well,
so,
I think that's appropriate, though, Kevin, because yes. I don't think Damien Hardwick is the reason the Tigers are mediocre. I think you have a look at their list, and their list runs out at around 15, Kevin. Once you start getting down to 15, and then you're getting into 16, so on the list, it's not a very, very strong list at all.
Yeah, but they didn't think that pre-season, Pat. The Tigers may have tried to go after a couple of players, missed out. One was Trengove. I'm surprised they even went after Trengove, but one was Trengove. But they didn't really... They didn't trade anyone. They must have felt that there was a lot of strength within that list. They may look now and think what you're saying, that maybe it gets down to 15 and it starts to thin out a bit.
I think prior to the season,
there was a greater confidence that the list was stronger than that.
I think you've taken me the wrong way. I think that they could well still finish in the eight. Mm-hmm. They can still do that. And that was their assessment of the list. But that's the list there. It's not going to take you any further. And I think that this season is probably the season that they come to terms with that, with the cold reality of that, and then really start working on improving the list. I think they'll be in their best position on their salary cap to make important and strategic moves for the list. I think that will come. And I think the list is the problem and not the coach.
Hawthorn's going to lose a couple of players before we go to a break, and we'll take your calls 94290433 98 1116 if you want to send through that SMS. Luke Hodge and Jordan Lewis, both those players will be suspended. Probably they'll get around about 3 weeks.
You would think. I think both need to be deemed intentional. Probably the Lewis one won't. I think the Hodge one will. And once, if Hodge goes to intentional, then he will go straight to the tribunal, I think, and the same with Lewis. But I don't, I'm not sure Lewis, because there was an act of play in place and that you could deem he was just late with a spoil or something or a punch, he may get careless. But to me, it looked pretty intentional.
Okay, how many weeks for Hodge and Lewis? 9, 4, 2, 9, 11, 16. A break. We'll come back with your call. 21 past 9, and Patrick Smith has joined us. Don't forget his famous Goose and Goose coming up as well. You may have some early nominations for Patrick. Your ticks and crosses from a huge weekend of sport. Scotty joins us from Elwood. G'day, Scotty.
Hello, fellas. Regarding the Bulldogs, as you can imagine, I'm very much enjoying the way it's going. But a few observations. I think it's time for Minson to come back. I think he's got a bit more to offer than Ace Cordy. And out of the young names that we're seeing developing, the newer lot, like Honeychurch, Johansson and Lin Jong, Lucas Webb has really impressed me. This kid's just come from nowhere, and he's just straight into the seniors, and he's looking like an absolute natural. We got him for, he was a part of a compensation pick for Higgins, and he's looking fantastic.
He was very good on the weekend, and he was very good also against Adelaide. The good point that you make, Scotty, is about Minson and Ace Cordy. Just the second game for Ace Cordy. Played against Adelaide last week and got absolutely cleaned up in the ruck. Pat, I'm not quite sure whether you saw the game, but
not enough of it, Kevin,
Mike
no.
Pike absolutely dominated the ruck.
Yes,
I think he had
58 knockouts.
Yeah, 58 of 59 hitouts. I think Ace and the boys had about 8. But at the centre bounce, they got absolutely murdered. So just imagine how the Doggies would have gone if they could have actually got the ball out of the centre square and started, you know, maybe going their way. Lots of times that to sort of win the second contest to get the ball back. So that's a problem at the moment. Ace Cordy's a young ruckman who's just found a bit of fitness. Whether or not they go with Ace or whether or not they bring back the All-Australian Minson, I suppose, is one for Bulldog supporters. Scotty says bring back Minson. Like to hear from other Bulldog supporters to see whether or not you persevere with Ace Cordy. Or is there someone else that you can actually put in the ruck that maybe most of us don't know about down there at the Dogs?
That's one for Greg Denham and his selection table on Thursday. Kevin, yes. Does he talk about the Bulldogs at selection?
Well, he gave a weak and timid apology, I thought, last week about the Dogs. Tried to sort of backtrack a little bit.
No, he does that.
Tried to make some excuses on the comments that he actually made. But I think we all know that he had dismissed the Dogs as a complete rabble and with no knowledge whatsoever what they were doing.
I think that was the word he used, rabble.
Rabble.
Kevin? Yeah, I think it was.
So, look, maybe another apology on Thursday. Maybe he'll come clean and just say that he got it wrong.
Yep.
Johnny's in Ballarat. G'day, John.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How are you?
Good, John.
Some of my thoughts on the weekend. It's interesting how sometimes, and obviously if you're hanging tough with your team and the Bulldogs and that sort of thing. My daughter barracks for the Bulldogs and she's really excited about, what's going on for them at the moment. But I was watching the North Melbourne game and I was just like, want your thoughts on some of these teams that really, they need to start winning these sort of games and they just consistently don't. And that's North Melbourne, Richmond to an extent. But, I mean, I'm thinking about North Melbourne beating some of these teams and being expected to sort of put in a challenge and then just getting sort of overwhelmed by it. So just your sense at where some of those teams are at.
Well, North Melbourne, they didn't have weight on the weekend. He pulled out late. They did beat Geelong the week before down at Simmons Stadium. That's always been very difficult. Geelong's been an outstanding side, so a lot of people thought maybe that was a step. Last year they took the step. Last year they beat some top sides last year, got through to the preliminary final. They went out and got weight. They've also got Higgins as well. Got some other younger kids coming through, particularly Ben Brown. Hawthorn's pretty good.
That's the trouble.
Hawthorn's a very, very good side. And they're tough to beat, and they can make the best sides look pretty ordinary at times. They came off a loss last week themselves. They were just too good for North Melbourne. Now, can North bridge that gap, when they get weight back into the side? Can they find some other players that maybe might have been a bit down on the weekend? Who else can come into their side? Well, we have to ask North Melbourne fans. How can North improve to bridge that gap from being preliminary finals last year to, what they saw on the weekend against Hawthorn, who had a few players out?
I think you're stretching it to say weight's the difference between North.
No, well, he kicked three goals against Geelong.
Sure, but it's not the difference between North beating Hawthorn.
Well, they were hoping that the inclusion of Waite and Higgins was going to make their side stronger,
yes,
and make them better than the side that lost in the preliminary final last year.
Okay.
So, I mean, the season will tell whether or not, you know, they have improved the Kangaroos. David's in Altona. G'day, David.
Yeah, g'day, KB. I just want to give a big thank you to Ryan Griffin. I'm a diehard Bulldog supporter, and if it wasn't for his, landmark decision to leave the club and cause a big ruckus, the Bulldogs would not be in the situation they're in right now. Brendan McCartney, he said some great things about preaching contested football, and obviously he wasn't cut out for the job, and Ryan Griffin leaving's opened the door for someone who's, preaching an exciting brand of football. It's great to see.
Well, I wouldn't jump all over the previous coach. I think he's put in a lot of hard work and groundwork there. And I think Beveridge would be grateful that that work's been put in. And he's reaping the benefits of that. What they have got is a captain that they should have had for a long time, Bob Murphy. Why he was never considered outstanding captain material is beyond me.
But the ability to put pressure on the opposition, we talk about the Bulldogs' style of play at the moment, which is run and gun and fast movement of the ball and players around the ball, always trying to get the ball going forward. But when they haven't got the ball, they're tackling, yeah, and chasing against the Sydney Swans was remarkable. There was times, Pat, where you think, oh, the Swans are going to kick a goal here because the guy's 3 or 4 metres clear and he's just about to kick the ball. And a Bulldogs player would just rally some inner strength to, yep, pull him down and to make up 3 or 4 metres.
Oh no, that was the hallmark really of that game was their ability to match Sydney and at times better it in pressuring.
No Liberatore, no Wallace at the moment recognises, yep, their two best young midfielders. They're not there yet.
No,
won't get back one. Libert won't be back for the year, but Wallace will certainly be back. Johnny's in Altona, wants to talk about Jake Stringer. G'day, Johnny.
Morning, KB and Patrick. Regarding that was a great tackle by Jake Stringer on Buddy Franklin. If Stringer doesn't tackle Buddy, Sydney get the ball clear, end up winning the game clearly. Well done to the Bulldogs. As far as Liberatore's going, he'll be doing what his dad did, making a comeback late in the season when the Dogs are still in contention.
Well, okay. Look,
that'd
I'm not
wonderful if that happened.
Yes, I'm not aware of that. I know his dad came back. I don't know what, 14 weeks or 12 weeks or some remarkable recovery. By
he just whacked a couple of nails in his knee, didn't he, Kevin? And just came back.
Libba had a very, very small tendon to repair too. Don't forget, Tom's a little bit bigger than Dad. Now, this is the call we've been waiting for. Trout, to just tell us, where are the Tigers at the moment? What can we expect for the rest of the season? Where do we need to improve? Trout, good morning.
Hello, Tiger boys.
Yes.
Once again, we drop games to a lower team on a side. Games we must win. Look, KB, it's frustrating. The mindset of our boys, last year we flew home. I think what's happened now, I'm worried about that they're thinking in a game that they can just start like a chess game and just move through the game and then try and steam home in the last quarter. Well, that's not going to cut it. We need to be strong and firm and throw the bodies on the line from the start. We should have outran Geelong and we should have just made them tight in the last quarter. Unfortunately, the clock beat us in the end.
Well, maybe a few cheap goals to the Tigers in the end when the pressure was off the game. And maybe there's something in that when the pressure's off the game and, you know, you've got to throw caution to the
Why
the
did
win.
Everybody think Richmond would beat Geelong?
Well, it was a 50-50 game. I don't think, they weren't odds on to beat Geelong, but I think the general feeling was Geelong's in decline, Pat, missing a few important players, even lost Kelly on the weekend, who was playing very, very well, that the Tigers were in a position to maybe take that next
step.
Well,
that's fanciful to think that would be an easy win, as Trout's suggesting.
Well, I'm not suggesting that.
I hope you're not.
But is there something in the fact that when the game was lost, that the Tigers took some risks and played a more attacking style of play with, once you know you've lost the game. We see this many times with some sides, Pat, where they'll kick the last 4 or 5 goals of a game when the game is all over and you can't win. The time clock's going to beat you anyway. And all of a sudden you start, players start running and, taking risks and trying to make something happen rather than play a crab style of game or trying to defend or play tempo football. And maybe that was what happened with the Tigers. Maybe we could learn something from that.
Well,
maybe attack more and be, back yourself in a little bit more.
Well, that's been your theme for a while, Kevin.
It has.
Yep.
And that's what the Bulldogs are doing. And they did it so well again on the weekend. 9-4-2-9-11-16, your ticks and crosses from the weekend. If you saw the big fight on the weekend, I didn't pay the $60 for the fight on the weekend. I had a function on and I wasn't going to pay it to watch the replay when obviously I'd certainly know what the result would be. But a lot of people, I know boys around here this morning, a lot of them still thought Pacquiao won the fight, that Mayweather was running all night and Pacquiao was trying to make the fight. A lot of people thought it was a boring fight. Then again on Twitter, you know, read some great reports from people who said it's a great fight and boxing is back and it was a classic contest.
Boxing is back. I know, give me a break.
Well, I'll tell you something, Patrick. Foxtel, Fox Sports, subscriptions for this fight, they sold 120,000. This is not the hotels and clubs, but to homes, 120,000. Which I think doubled the previous biggest one, which was 60,000, I think was for one of the mundane fights. So 120,000 people subscribed to see
boxing is
this
back
fight.
Is so not from, one fight, Kevin.
So, no, I'm just saying from
you're
that
delirious.
Point of view, I'm just telling you from one point of view, Pat, 120,000 people decided to subscribe to this particular fight. If you were one of them or you went and watched it, who won the fight? We'll take a break. 28 minutes to 10 and... coming up, also, Mark Allen's going to join us and get something off your chest. Peter Ryan from the AFL.com.au. Brett Phillips with the World of Tennis. And don't forget the Weekend Siren with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake. Terry has joined us from Blackburn along with Patrick Smith. G'day, Terry. G'day, Terry.
Good morning. Just around our friends at Hawthorn, the intentional wax to the North Melbourne players. I think we're going to take it one step further. They're both pushing 30 or just over 30. This is about player management for Hawthorn. It's insulting to the next week's opponents to rest them. So they've gone out there, couple whack, take their 2 or 3 weeks off, and then they'll come back fresh as daisies in the second half of the season.
So what is it? You're suggesting they did it deliberately to get the break?
Absolutely, and they'll do it again around 15, 16. Watch this space. And have a look at their draw over the next 5 weeks. Pretty soft, so coincidence? I wonder if they would have done it if they were playing Fremantle next week. I doubt it.
Okay, so a soft draw coming up for Hawthorn and, you know, believing that that's part of their tactics. You just go out, take out a few players,
yep,
knock them around a fair bit, Pat?
Never mind their reputation. Never mind their team rules. Never mind that they've both apologised to their teammates.
They got the Giants next week.
Yep.
Then they got Melbourne.
Why wouldn't they just stand down, Kevin?
Sydney Swans.
Could they
according to Terry, they wanted to beat North and they took out a couple of good players. Then they play the Sydney Swans, then Gold Coast Suns and then St Kilda. So you'd say that the hardest, I mean, obviously the Sydney Swans is their toughest over the next 5 weeks.
Okay, well, that's an interesting theory from Terry.
Dom is in Reservoir. G'day, Dom.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. With Todd Goldstein the other night, KB, he was semi-dazed after that Lewis hit, and he didn't want to go off because he felt if he went off, he would have been obliged to sit out 20 minutes to do the concussion test. So he stayed on, took the 50-metre penalty and missed the goal. And had he kicked that goal, it would have been 4 goals each. And to be honest, it sucked the air out of the stadium and out of the team because from that point onwards, we were never in it. And Hawthorn just blew us away after that and kept us at arm's length and then demolished us by 10 goals. So what could have been a 2-point margin after that goal, I reckon it went as far as like a mini turning point of the game. And also, KB, one thing I want to speak to you about, because you used to be on the Rules Committee, I've been banging on about this for a long, long time. I was watching the Swans-Bulldogs game. Mike Pike seems to have his own international rule book. Because he's a Canadian with an Irish accent, umpires seem to give him a bit of latitude. He spent the whole first half getting a heap of hit-outs, but at every boundary throw-in, he's just pushing Cordy into the back with both his hands and winning hit-outs, because Cordy's pretty light, but he does that every week. He also holds the opponent's arms down if he's like in a side-on position, and if he's caught behind, he pushes him in the back, and it took until midway through the third quarter to concede his first free kick when Boyd actually fell to ground and made it obvious to the umpire that, hey, that's a push. I mean, I think the umpires think, because of his heritage Give him a bit of latitude. He doesn't know the rules. Just let him get away with it. It's got to stop, KB. It must stop because this guy's been getting away with it for years.
Did you notice that, Kevin? You
well,
called the game?
No, he just dominated the ruck. I mean, to me...
Well, you would dominate it if you kept pushing the opponent
but
Ace
Cordy,
back,
Ace Cordy to me...
Strapping his arms to his side.
But Ace Cordy to me has just got to get a bit more physical. The same thing the week before, even against Jacobs. But it's the same rule for the ruck as it is for marking. You can't push, block, bump, or hold.
But is it the same rule for an international, Kevin?
No.
Who might not understand our language.
No, we don't. We don't have different rules for him. Well, we shouldn't. You've got to remember, in marking contests, you can't put your hands in the back of an opponent. You can't put your hands in the back, which is different than, say, pushing somebody. So you can't put your hands in the back of an opponent. But at a ruck contest, you can actually put your hand on the back of an opponent as long as you don't push him. You understand that, Pat?
I think that, well, I understand so it what in I'm Australian. Saying is, whether I understand it in Canadian, Kevin, is a completely different question.
But he's got an Irish accent.
And he's got an Irish accent, Kevin.
So, Dom, what I'm saying is you may have seen his hand on his back as they're coming in doing the contest. That in itself is not a free kick in a ruck contest. It isn't a marking contest. But he would have to push him in the back for it to be a free. Joe's in Collingwood. G'day, Joe.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm talking about Carlton very quick.
Yes.
The only way Carlton is going to win a game by getting a young, experienced young coach and get rid of the old man and put him in a retirement village.
Look, I think Carlton will win next week. They come up against Brisbane, and Brisbane has been... Well, talk about the Bulldogs being a bit of a puzzle, how well they've been playing, Pat. I reckon one of the other great puzzles is why is Brisbane so poor?
Yes, there's something wrong there other than, you know, a player list or anything. One of the normal football type things. Something else is wrong there. I do want to point out to people who say, Malthouse, you've just got to go and get another coach. Malthouse survived quite easily while McCartney, Sanderson and Neild, all who came through the
assistant coach's role.
Assistant coach's role, did coaching courses, were long-time assistant coaches, under very good coaches, they all just withered on the vine, while the bloke everybody says is old and past it, coaches on.
Yes, but at the moment he's got respect from Carlton, but he doesn't seem to have any love.
No. But I'm pointing out everybody
from
who
the hierarchy.
Says, but I'm pointing out, Kevin, that going and getting these people who have gone through the tried and the accepted. Do your course, learn your A course, B course, senior coaching course, be an assistant coach, be a line coach. Do all of that doesn't mean you can coach.
No, of course not, of course not.
Well, the people ought to remember that when they think we'll just go and replace Malthouse.
No, there's positives and negatives, and there's those who have come through that and have done very well, and there's others who haven't. The name that I keep hearing for Carlton is Stewie Jew.
Yes.
And we heard his name with Melbourne, but obviously... that didn't come off, so Simon Goodwin is now...
Who's throwing that up, Kevin, and the club?
I believe that, people of influence, Pat,
okay,
are throwing that up. That
there's lots of people of influence at Carlton, which is probably half their problem, Kevin.
Well, could well be, Patrick. I'm just saying to you that you may not have heard it, but what I'm hearing is Stewie Jew.
Okay.
Have you heard it?
No, I haven't heard it, Kevin.
You have now.
Thank you very much.
Barbara is in East Doncaster. G'day, Barbara.
Hello, KB. How you going?
Good, thank you.
Oh, that's good. Well, you must be happy that Carlton's taken the spotlight off Richmond.
I respect Carlton enormously. Yeah.
I got a very good tweet, actually, last night that for the Goose would be a merger between Richmond and Richmond and Carlton.
Oh, dear. Now, look, what I'd like
got
to
some
say...
support, too.
No, I'm a diehard Carlton supporter. I have been for, a member for over 25 years, and, I've seen them play good and I've seen them play really bad. It's really disappointing, especially Friday night. I mean, it was just heartbreaking to watch. And but I believe it's not the coach. I don't believe getting a new coach is going to fix the problem. The problem is that the team just don't play for each other. They play as individuals, and that's not the coach's fault. Now, everyone's saying bring Ratten back, bring Ratten back. Yeah, Ratten was a good coach, but he was only good because he had Bev in the forward line that'll kick 50, 60 goals a season as well. So I don't think until we can get a proper forward, which we did have, Josh Kennedy, which people tend to forget, and it was Ratton that got rid of him.
You did pick up Judd, though, Barbara.
Yeah, but we had enough midfielders, KB. We did not need another midfielder.
So you don't think you needed Judd? You didn't need Chris Judd?
Personally, no. No, I don't think we did. Because he's not a match winner. He's a great player, or he was when he was at West Coast, right? But when you put him in front of goals, 30 metres, how many times did he spray a goal?
No, he's not a goal kicker. But he carried Carlton, surely, Barbara, on his shoulders. He made Carlton competitive, I would have thought. I'd like to get other Carlton fans' support there. Look, it's unfortunate that you've lost Josh Kennedy in the deal, and people keep throwing up Pat and Barbara. You know, was Fev on the table? Could they have done a deal with somebody else, or, you know, offloaded Cruiser or one of their ruckmen? Anything but Josh Kennedy now. But unfortunately, he's gone. He's a very, very good player, and he'd be fantastic if he was playing for Carlton now. I mean, he's heading the goal king, I think, from memory. 22 goals, so he's 5 goals in front of the next best. Kicked, 6 on the weekend again. So he's a very good player, but I don't think you can overlook the fact that Judd did some wonderful things for Carlton.
Will you be the first president of the Carlton Tigers?
Why are you being so scurrilous and stupid?
It was tweeted as
a goose of an idea.
If Carlton, well, got a lot of merit, I think. I think you'd make a fine president because you've always respected Carlton.
I've got enormous respect for Carlton, Patrick.
I think you're a Monty for the job.
Thank you, Patrick. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls, 9429 and 16. Your ticks and crosses from a huge weekend of sport. And, you can tell us your weekend highlight, the low light of the weekend. And maybe you've got some advice, whether it's positive or negative for your team after round 5. And also, Patrick will come back and give us his famous goose and goose. And you can always agree or disagree.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week. On 11:16 SEN.
Yes, Patrick's famous Goose and Goose. And I know a lot of nominations coming off Twitter, Pat.
Absolutely, Kevin.
And I know you take a lot of notice of that.
I do, but not today. Not when it comes to Goose of the Week. Now, overwhelmingly on Twitter, it was Hodge and Lewis, joint winners of...
Goose of the Week.
No, that's from Twitter, but I've overruled them. I've gone for John Burns. If you remember, it was John Burns who made that extraordinary apology about a comment he may or may not have meant about or said about Muslim terrorist when describing Bashir Hooley. I thought he handled himself so appallingly over that whole incident, whether he said it or not, just the way he handled it. I think he was... I've nominated him as... Goose of the Week.
Goose of the Week. So yeah. John Burns is Goose of the Week. What about the Goose?
Well, the Goose is the Bulldogs. And that's everybody, the coach, the president, the players, just to have pulled themselves together from their pre-season and to be so efficient and so exciting. I've given them Goose of the Week, but just ahead of St Kilda, because they were very well supported on Twitter as well. So it's the Bulldogs.
Would have loved to hear a bit more from St Kilda fans. Yesterday was a terrific effort.
Yes,
if you were a St Kilda supporter, you'd be a little bit buoyed after leaving the game yesterday. I know there would have been that great disappointment. They had chances to actually win the game towards the end, or certainly, they had... two definite chances. I mean, Snyder, as we know, missed an opportunity to put him 11 points up with about, 6 minutes to go, and had another opportunity to kick a goal with about, a couple of minutes to go.
Yeah, that was the killer, that one.
Had a couple of chances and, virtually it led for most of the day. But I think St Kilda fans, I mean, look, if you're going to get better at a side, one of the great disappointments is that you lose by big margins, but as you get better and better and better and more competitive, you have a lot of games where you lose by smaller margins.
Yeah, sure.
And sometimes those losses are even more harder to take than the ones by the bigger margins. But you've got to go through, that before you can actually become a good side and start winning more on a regular basis. Some of the SMSs are saying, I'm currently working in China and the fight was on free-to-air over there. It should have been a split decision, at least. The fight was rigged. Dazza says, why was Hulk Hogan at the game on Friday night when The Undertaker would have been a better choice? I'm a boxing fan and paid the $60 to watch the big fight. It was boring. Nothing happened for 12 rounds, said Ben.
Hey, Kevin, on that, there was a ton of Twitter over the commentator who did a post-match interview with Pacquiao.
Was that Max Kellerman?
Max Kellerman. Apparently, I didn't hear it, but apparently it was an awkward, awkward interview where he seemed to make Pacquiao embarrassed and made it more about him.
Well, I've got SMSs saying Goose of the Week. They felt that you missed out on him, Pat.
Well, he was nominated, I've got to say, by Twitter.
Was the interviewer that spoke to Manny Pacquiao after the fight. Total disrespect to a champion fighter that just went 12 rounds with the best fighter in the world for his weight division.
Yeah,
had
I seen the interview, I may have given it, but I didn't see the interview, but it was heavily recommended on the Twitter.
And I'll give you another one here, Pat. What does a coach actually do with a big question mark? The list is now the excuse for all of them making me question their importance.
Well, they're very important because they've got the very highly paid Mark Brayshaw, who's chief executive of the most irrelevant body in Australia, Kevin. So they must be very important.
And also, a lot of SMSs suggesting the Hawthorn players have got nothing to be worried about because isn't Daniel Harford on the tribunal panel? Surely he will get them off.
Please, Daryl Harford.
No. Dennis is in Oakley. G'day, Dennis. Okay. Dennis, hold there, Dennis, because I do have to take a break. Don't forget, Mark Allen is going to join us, get something off your chest. Don't forget, Weekend Sign with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake. Got some SMSs coming through, Pat, suggesting they saw you at the Rebels game on Saturday night.
Certainly was, Kevin. Fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And I had a good win. It's a much undersold event. It's good. It was well worth it.
Okay, the Rebels beat the Chiefs, and of course Melbourne City is going to play Melbourne Victory next Friday
night.
That's
a big time, yep.
Eddie had, and they're looking at breaking the record of over 55,436. More about that later, Pat, as we wave you goodbye. Catch you tomorrow.
Cheers.